You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, all my kindred spirits folks out there, welcome to our show again today. What's everybody doing? It's been a rough week, that full moon. I don't know what went on, but it was so much traffic and so much energy and everybody was moving in all these different directions. And so I thought, what a calming day we're having today in LA, nice and soothing, very moody, a kind of romantic in some ways. Today we have an interesting set of guests for you. Wow, it's about, in you know, art, and we're going to talk a little bit about art, where it has come from, what it's doing. Is it ever going to be subject to being government ruled? You know, will it come a time that it'll be regulated? And what kind of art can we expect to see in our right now, happening right now in our future with the ongoing technology progressing as fast as it does? So today I'd like to introduce our guest. Wonderful thing. Before I do that, I want to announce our sponsor, Kevin Pike of Coldwell Banker, senior real estate and probate specialist. 818-571-1508, 818-571-1508, senior real estate and probate specialist, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker. Now back to our guest. Here we go. These women are Texpressionists. They are a part of a movement called Texpressionism. I have drum a roll. I have in front of me a wonderful woman. I have the pleasure of knowing her for a while now, Karen LaFleur, beautiful name, and the effervescent as well, Renata Janiszewska. So they are wonderful women and doing their thing in Texpressionism. So let's kick it off, ladies. First of all, one of you go for it. What is Texpressionism? And I'd like both of you to tell me your perception of what Texpressionism is. So go, let's go. Welcome to the show. Renata, you want to go first?
Sure. There are a lot of different ways to describe it. It's a community of artists. It's a social sculpture, and the term social sculpture comes from the German artist Joseph Beuys, and it means an artist or artists who create structures in society using thoughts, language, actions, and objects. It's also non-centralized, it's not hierarchical in any way, and it's very inclusive.
And you're out of the Bauhaus legacy. I've read and seen and now been told about it. Karen, you are you're exhibiting with the Smithsonian. You've been with the Renwick Gallery, Washington D.C., Future Craft, Course Museum of the Arts. You are also a lecturer and teacher. Renata, I know I saw an interview with the Cape Cod Museum. You guys are doing this amazing exhibition, Texpressionist exhibition called Mariniana, and it's so beautiful. So can you, Karen, explain how Texpressionism works? What are the elements of it? How can someone call themselves a Texpressionist? And the name Texpressionism says technology has something to do with it. What makes it different from digital art, would one of you explain to the audience out there? So go.
Well, Texpressionism comes from a desire, I think, for artists using technology to be able to have a vocabulary that will explain what they're doing. Because when you say digital art, it includes everything from Hollywood special effects to cartoons, et cetera, et cetera. And without naming something, having a word to be able to express what you do, it silences us. So when the word was put out there at the beginning of the pandemic by Colin Goldberg in 2020, there were only a half dozen artists that came together. And right now, Renata can tell you the statistics, but I think it's over 85,000 on the hashtag use and about 350 artists from 45 different countries. Wow. So there was a need for having this terminology. Expressionism is an approach. So it's not a style, it's an approach using art to express emotional experience by using technology. Mm-hmm. So it's like expressionism, it's just we're using technology. So that's kind of the core of where it started from. Mm-hmm. And the show that you're talking about, Meridiana, which we can both get into deeper as we go.
Yes.
Stemmed from us wanting to do a Textpressionism show that could show land-based audiences, because we're all online, what Textpressionism can do. So.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you can say about us, you can situate us in a kind of art historical context. There, we are like the fourth wave of Expressionism. So early 20th mm-hmm. century, 1900 to 1930, German Expressionists, Der Blaureiter, Kandinsky, that was the beginning. Then you have the American abstract expressionists, Pollock, de Kooning, mm-hmm. Rauschenberg, the whole group, that whole set of people, and that even Rothko was part of the abstract expressionists. And then you have neo-expressionism that happened in the 80s, mostly in New York. David Sal, the guy who uses those big chunks of ceramic, Julian Schnabel, mm-hmm. Eric Fischl. Those were the neo-expressionists. Basquiat was also a neo-expressionist. And so we're the fourth wave now. We're the Textpressionists.
Textpressionist technology. I love that it says Textpressionism, so it definitely gives the feeling of something technical and digital. Now, let me ask you this, because Textpressionism and Textpressionists are online, is there any kind of threat to it being regulated? How much you can do online without being interfered, because all of your platforms are technically and digitally based? Is there any problem with that, so somebody can feel free to totally express themselves if they want to express that, I don't like the current government, or I don't like how music sounds these days? Can they do that through their technology and not have a fear of anything being regulated?
Right. I curate the Textpressionism account for Instagram.
Okay.
And we do have artists in the group who are very political and who make political statements with their art, through their art. We have artists in Moscow. We have artists in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro. We have artists in Korea, and we have artists in Iran. Not to mention a lot of American artists who all have a varying type of political situation that they're living with. Mm-hmm. And sometimes an artist will use a pseudonym. Like we have a Ukrainian artist, and I'm pretty sure I don't know his full name, but his Instagram name is Meltdown Love.
That's nice and strong.
And he has had shows in bunkers, because not all Textpressionism takes place online. People print their work, people make sculpture, it's very multifaceted. Okay. And we have an expression that says, you're a Textpressionist when you say you are.
Right. It's about as regulated as it gets.
I was reading that, because right now these ladies are there. There's a really beautiful article on the both of you and Meridiana, where we're going to talk more about how that concept came about. I noticed that both of you have two different styles. I love that. Karen's style doesn't fit more of a LaFleur, and your style fits more of a Renata Yamachevska, you know. So it's really beautiful to see the two blended together. Now, I noticed, Renata, in your bio, it said you used your emotions. You expressed yourself through your emotional self through your digital technology, and you had you involved shamanism, your emotion. How does shamanism fit into Texpressionism? Because as soon as I saw shamanism, I'm like, it brought a spiritual aspect to your work. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you more about that. And then Karen, I want to talk to you in a few minutes about the same thing with that. Go ahead.
I think that all artists are shamans in that we transform matter. We take an idea, we take a feeling. For me, it's usually an emotional impulse that makes me want to create. And we put it through a kind of alchemy. And then it comes out as an image and people view the image. And if it's a successful image, and not all of them are successful, as Karen well knows, you get a reaction. You get a human feeling reaction in the viewer. You know what it's like when you go to a museum and you look at a Rothko, for example, or you look at a, I don't know, who strikes me as very spiritual, early painters, Northern Europe.
Hilma van Klint, is that her name, how you say
it? Yeah, very much.
She's very spiritual, yes.
Yeah, and her work has a kind of mathematical precision, and at the same time, it has a lot of emotional energy because of her color palette. Yes. She was really, really good with color. And color affects us on a kind of vibrational level, which brings back the spiritual element.
Now, would you say that, before I talk to Karen, would you say that she was a Texpressionist in some ways or no?
I think so. I really do. If she were alive today, I think she would embrace it.
Because she seemed like she was going in that direction. That Karen, Miss Lafleur, when you do your work and you're creating, you're expressing yourself emotionally, are you stirring up some internal energy, any traumas, pains, things you may be dealing with that can be expressed in a fluid manner when you're doing your thing through Texpression and you're expressing yourself through technology?
Well, it depends on the piece that I'm working with, okay, which direction I'm going. But a lot of my work has to do with the ocean because I've lived beside it my whole life. It's sort of my guide, you know, my emotional anchor, shall we say, not to use mm-hmm. a nautical term. Yes. And so when I see a problem with the ocean or something I want to express, often I will sort of counterpoint the two in the same piece. So when you were looking at Meridiana,
yes,
my first moving image starts at the very bottom of the ocean. And then it brings you up through the different layers and zones in the ocean until you get to the surface. And it's a beautiful journey if you want to take it that way. But the reason I did it is because everybody sees the ocean from the surface down and they don't realize how all these different zones are interconnected from the tiniest, tiniest microbe or bacteria at the bottom right to the fish you see at the top. So I'm telling them in a way, warning them to be aware of all of the ocean, not just what you can see. So,
and also the depth of women, the depth of our emotion, how deep it is. It's deep, you know, it's so deep that men are still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to figure out the depth of our emotion. So how did you two meet? How did you come up with the concept of Meridiana? To me, I swear it was so, and it was sensual in a spiritual way. When I say sensual, I don't mean, oh, yeah, you know, you're talking about sex or that kind of sensuality. That's low base to me. I'm talking about the higher part of sensuality. When things are so blended and so harmonious that it's like a dance. You're moving as one energy. That's how I felt. How did you two, what was the process of doing Meridiana?
I got an invitation from Karen to join her on this project. She lives, half a mile from the Cape Cod Museum of Art. She had a relationship with the museum. She's exhibited her work there, her husband's work. She has a history with the museum. And she invited me to do this project with her. And when they heard that I wasn't from the area, they asked us to do a theme that was somehow related to the surroundings of the Cape Cod Museum of Art. And that's how it was born. It's just out of their request that, because I'm a Canadian artist, they wanted to have me do the show, but they also have their mandate, because they're a regional museum, to show work that has a relationship to the area.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, Renata and I first of all met in 2020 when Texpressionism started, and we were just eyeing each other's art all the way along. So it was easy to ask Renata to come in on this project, because I knew it would we'd make a good visual piece together. But Renata lives beside quite a large body of water herself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually live between two large bodies of water. I'm on the northern Bruce Peninsula. That's in Ontario, Canada. And it's about a kilometer to the beach from my front door. It's not very far. I'm sorry. It's about two kilometers to a mile. So
I'm like, okay. Yeah. I can envision that, what that looks like. And it said on your bio that I thought it was interesting, because lion's mane is the name of a mushroom.
Lion's head.
I was like, what is she lives in lion's mane, Canada? I found that interesting, that where your location was. I'm like, now that sounds like an interesting part of Canada. In doing Marignana, is a part of when you do Texpressionism, is a part of it, is there any sketching or drawing or graphic design involved before it gets transferred onto the internet to become this moving thing? Because Karen and yourself just said, well, Karen said it was her first moving image. So what is the difference between doing the moving image that is Texpressionism and then the still image that's Texpressionism?
Well, Texpressionism, what you're seeing in Marignana is what I do and Renata does, but all the artists in Texpressionism, some of them could just be doing creative coding. Some of them could be doing breaking AI algorithms. Others could be working with light only. Others could be using all different kinds of technology or traditional mediums and bringing it through technology and out the other side. So they may be running something through a printer or painting, running it through the printer again over and over. So in terms of, you know, how does it affect the different mediums? It's just, I start with a drawing. Other artists may start a totally different way, the way they're going to be creating. But for me, I've always drawn. So I start with pencil and vellum, and I just doodle. I just draw. And then I take that drawing and put it through the technologies and break it all down so I have control over all the elements. Now, Renata does it a totally different way.
Yeah, I kind of stumbled into it because I found that I could draw on an iPod Touch, and it was a small little screen. I would hold it in the palm of my hand, and I would run my thumb over the screen and make drawings that way. That was back in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Another artist, David Hockney, started drawing on his iPhone as soon as the iPhone was available. And I saw what he was doing, and I thought, hey, I love this. He's doing drawings. I'm doing mine. Then the iPad came out, and then the iPad Pro. So I basically have like a 12-by-9-inch screen, and I have a stylus that I draw, but I paint and I make my own brushes. So it's kind of hard to understand without seeing a picture of it. But if you can imagine that I take an image, like let's say I take the letter A in a stylized manner, and I draw the letter A, a whole line of letter A's. That's my brush. That shape is the brush that comes out of the... And I've been able to make hundreds of brushes over time. And those become paintings on the iPad. And then I export them into software. And I make them move. And I make up my own music as well. So I marry the music and the motion together. And that's how we get a moving image work.
And that's how Mariana came about.
That's how my part of Mariana came about that way. And we would have a meeting every month and we would show each other what we had done. And mm-hmm. sometimes it was good and sometimes it was not so good.
Well, that's art for you.
Yeah. It's wonderful to have the time because we spent a long time working it out.
How long did it take you to actually complete the project to be able to show it to the museum? Were you on a time frame? Did you feel pressured? Did they give you all the time you want? I mean, how did that work?
Well, it ended up about a little under 2 years for the whole.
What?
Yeah. Because first we started and then we did about the first 3 or 4 months just brainstorming, you know, how do we want to create a piece that's individual of each artist, but also has an umbrella that relates to both pieces. So that took a little while. And then I decided I'd like to really know the ocean a little bit more scientifically than I know it right now as a layperson. And then Renata, you decided to take it from sort of the myth narrative story part. And when I started the science, I ended up in a program that's a synergy project out of Rhode Island, out of the Rhode Island Art League, and they match artists and scientists together. So it just happened to come along the first 3 or 4 months of Mariniana, and I said, oh, this would be great. And that's how I met the scientist Lucas Tenzer. And he was a scientist at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute here on Cape Cod. And I worked with him for a year on his studies of water body eddies. So when we look at the ocean, it looks like one big body of water, but it's not. The coastal water and the ocean water don't mix. They kind of stay in their own yard. But the little whirlpools, well, they're big in the ocean, but when you see it on a map, there are these little whirlpools that exchange minerals and nutrients, and they're trying to figure out the significance of the exchange. And that was how the second moving image in my three-part series came about for Cape Cod. But Renata can probably speak a little bit about how long it took us to come up with the title.
And before you speak, Renata, let me put another question in there with you. With all of what Karen just said going on in the ocean, all this activity, because we're looking at the ocean from the top, there's all these other levels to the ocean, as you two said. How did you compensate for the different rifts and changes in the water, the different levels of water, where there's parts where there may be something, algae or things down there, mammals, you know, other kind of sea, ocean life. How did you compensate for all of those things in the water at the same time while you're dealing with the water? Because the water is fluid. I mean, it could have been fire or something, but you guys chose the element of water. So how did you take the fluidity of water is what I want to ask and compensate for all of the other things that have to be immersed in water?
Well, it's interesting because that kind of is also a segue into the title.
Oh, Mariniana.
Yes, Mariniana, but we wanted a subtitle. And Renata wrote a lot of the beautiful, she came up with Mariniana. She did all the beautiful phrasing in the catalog, etc. But she came up with the interrupted wave. And I absolutely loved it when she came up with it, except nothing interrupts in the ocean. It's a constant fluid dynamic. And that's how we ended up bringing technology back into the whole show. But Renata, I think you can speak a little bit about on that too.
You understand my question, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like how did, because water is fluid, just like Karen said, and just like we know, how did you take the movement of the water, match it with the life that goes on inside water, along with dirt and everything else that's in water, and then still come up with it moving and it being such a feeling piece for Marignana. And being called Marignana, I mean, it says water by the fact that it says Marignana.
Well, marine life. I mean, Karen's work addresses the scientific aspect that I think you're speaking about. How do we combine all the little elements that live in the water with the water? And in Karen's piece, in Marignana, she's very good at showing us all those microbes and microorganisms moving. And you did base a lot of it on the things that live in the water, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I studied each zone and studied all the creatures that were in those zones. And then I realized certain movements or certain fin strokes were happening on certain creatures. And then I just made up my own abstract creature. But Marignana as a whole is, when you look at the ocean, we know it scientifically, the moon pulls the tides, etc. But when you jump off a boat in the middle of the ocean, we can't help but say, oh my goodness, what's down there? This is an element I don't understand, which brings up emotion, which is what Renata dealt with in her parts and pieces.
But, you know, you never got a chance to finish explaining to Osiris about the interrupted wave, because you found the computer reference in that subtitle. Can you explain that?
Thank you, Renata. I didn't want to wander off topic too much.
But, no, it's fine. We got you.
Okay. We needed to bring it back as some kind of an over. Why does it work? You know, if you can't interrupt the water, why does the interrupted wave sound right to my ear? But I found out, well, I kind of knew, but then I delved in more, that an interrupt is a signal in a computer. So it actually pauses and waits for the next signal that's going to come in to decide what it's going to do next, rather than a normal interrupt is stop, start again. So it sits there, waits. Am I going left? Am I going right? Am I going forward? Am I going to make audio? Am I going to make visual? And we liked that idea that technology is those choices. And every single person in the project had the same decisions. So Renata had to make choices for her artwork through technology. Nancy had to make it through the keyboards. Lucas has to do it through his science projects. So it kind of pulled the whole thing together on the interrupt being an operating system signal.
And so in some ways, in order to do and be a part of the Texpressionist movement, now I see why they say you're a Texpressionist if you say you are. Because it's a certain mind, it's a certain way the mind works and a certain feeling and emotion that all of you bring to a theme to make the theme work, because it is Texpressionism. I dig that, man. I so dig that. I think that is so fascinating. And, you know, at first when I heard of it, most people would think, oh, it's going to be competitive against traditional art. And, you know, they're going to take everything away, but it has nothing to do with that. So I am so appreciative that I have you two on to explain to everyone there is no threat. You know, it's a new expression, a new art way to talk about art. Renata, in your bio, what part of the Bauhaus legacy applied to your work? Because I know, if I'm correct, and you can feel free to correct me, I have no ego about being correct if I'm wrong, and I can't hold everything in memory all the time, but it had to do with architecture, design, structure, and form. Mm-hmm. What part of that do we see in some of your work, and in specifically Marignana, because it's what they're exhibiting right now? This is a running piece right now, gorgeous piece. Go ahead and explain that.
Okay, well, I did use a lot of different types of media before I picked up the computer. So that's the form. Those are the forms, things I worked, like chalk on tar paper, ink on ceramic tile. I did sculpture, installation, murals, on painting on brick. And so in terms of art history and the Bauhaus, I had happened to have a graphic designer father who studied in England, and his teachers were directly influenced by what was going on in Germany, the Bauhaus. So that's lucky for me in the sense that it gave me a way of creating composition. This, yes, is based in design, but every artist has to be a designer. It's just one aspect of making an image. And I had this very strict kind of grid laid down in my brain when I was very small, and it's just always served me as a compositional tool and a way of making my work formal. I had a teacher, though, who was a Canadian early pioneer of video art, and he actually worked and lived in LA for a time, Colin Campbell. His work became well known around the world, and because he was a video artist, it allowed me to think about technology as a medium from the very beginning when I was a student.
That sounds wow! What an incredible thing to have. So, you know, it's kind of like when people are destined to do things and they don't know why they're going through things and why you do what you do, and then here you are on global streaming here talking about what you're doing. Also, I found it interesting. Did you say that Texpressionism was just discovered in 2020 or 2000? 2020. Is that young?
Pandemic times.
Right.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. No.
Wow. That's so, isn't that befitting to you for something on? It's almost like it was time to come out right when things were going in that direction. Isn't that interesting how things work like that? Well, what brought it to the surface? How did it, who said, wow, there's a movement called Expressionism. Let's talk about it. Everybody that wants to be in it, come on, join our thing. How did that happen?
Well, we have the founders, the four founders, they were all basically around the Long Island area, and they met on somebody's front porch. I think it was Steve Miller, and they decided they would have a show. And we have an advisor to the group, Helen Harrison. She's an art historian. She's written a number of books. She's an expert on Jackson Pollock. And she said to Colin, why don't you have an exhibition and see who sticks around? So these people came, they stayed. They had a salon every month. Was it every 2 weeks or every, I think we were having it 2 weeks.
It was every 2 weeks in the beginning, yeah.
And it was always on Zoom, everybody welcome. The link is up there on the web. You can join. You just have to pre-register so we know you're coming. And we had various artists giving presentations of their work and meeting over these salons where we talked ideas and discussed our projects. And it got more and more formal as time went by. After 4 years now, we have our salons booked 3-4 months in advance. We know what we're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. It's really gained a lot of momentum. It's become, I think, more. It's become stronger because it's post-pandemic times and people can travel. We can meet. I got to meet a bunch of Texpressionists in Brooklyn in August, and I had been talking to them for years over Zoom, and it was so nice just to see these folks in 3D and just, you know, like,
you okay?
Yeah, I just. Spilled.
You walked your water over. Didn't get in any of the equipment is what I want to know, right? You're good?
No, it's just going.
Okay, good. As long as it didn't block out the mic, are you still?
No, we're good. We're good.
That sounds amazing. So it is gaining momentum as we move along. I want to also know, are you threatened? Are you a threat? Because you're women in the Texpressionist movement. You know, are you threatened? Are you a threat? Because you know technology, you, my dear Renata, and you, my dear Karen, have the ability to, you have a little bit of power, some power, because you know how to command technology. You actually know how to run certain parts of technology that not a lot of us know how to do. And then the other thing is because Texpressionism is fairly new, do you feel that abstract artists in particular may find their way into Texpressionism because they're abstract artists? Because when I look at Lee Pollock, when I look at Lee Krasner, and Jackson Pollock, I actually have an affinity more to her, and they don't talk about her as much. I've searched the internet for her. A lot of stuff on here, stuff on her, but not a lot, because she shifted into his career thinking hers was not as important, I think. But would their kind of art or her kind of art, would it be able to be called Texpressionism in today's world if they took it, put it online and run it like they're running on a video? Something, could that also be called a part of being a Texpressionist?
It's an approach. It's not a style or a medium. So it's very inclusive of everybody's different talents, let's put it that way. So it's an artistic approach that uses technology to express emotional experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're using technology in some way, in some kind of creative process, and you want to call yourself a Texpressionist, then it's okay to do. No one's going to stop you. Mm-hmm. And in terms of being threatened, I think everyone within the group really respects each person in terms of what they contribute in terms of their own creative voice. Mm-hmm. We don't really have a hierarchy within the groups per se. Correct, Renata?
Yeah, definitely very inclusive. We have a manifesto. We have a part of it that talks about inclusivity of all kinds.
And
so gender as well as race, as well as nationality, and all just all of that. It's very, and feminism is definitely baked into that.
Mm-hmm. That's the future. That's the future, you know, of doing things. Again, I think as things become, as we gradually get more into the artistic, I don't know if I can say spiritual. Do you think, Renata, do you think that we can say that technology, because of Texpressionism and Texpressionist, has a spiritual side? Or is it all just iron and steel and reasoning and thinking and no, and creative and no heart, no guts, no emotion? What do you feel about that?
Well, I'll give you an example. I've been working with AI since 2021, and I consider this, it's my collaborator. It's kind of like having a partner that doesn't really talk back the way a human partner would. And I can tell it what to do. And I mean, I think that only the best is yet to come for artists using AI, because it's just starting to get really interesting. Like just a few days ago, they introduced a new version of Midjourney Lab, which is the one that I've been using. And you can now talk to it in real time and say, can you move her head a little bit to the right? Can you put the window facing the canal? And it just takes your words and it changes the images for you, gives you four examples. And then you can say, okay, take this one, do this to it. And it's like working with a very intelligent, sensitive, and the emotion comes from the artist, but technology is just another tool. It's just like a paintbrush was a tool or a typewriter was a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
mm-hmm.
another tool for us. And a lot of people who use AI who are Texpressionist artists would agree with me that it's their collaborator. It's their help. It's their partner, but they're directing it.
That's it. It's just so fascinating. All the different things that can be done. I don't know how anybody can say they're bored these days. Like, are you kidding? It is so much to be involved with, so much to do. Then you have a whole globe now. You don't even have your own community in your own little hometown. You can stretch out, talk to people from all over the world. Now, when you talk about the group as a movement of Texpressionism, is it going from the United States out to the East, or has it always been somewhere and we just didn't know about it, or is it going from East to West? What is the direction, or it doesn't matter at this point in time?
I think it really started, well, let's put it this way. I think what really attracts all of us together is the fact that it allows us to communicate. We have a word about what we actually do, and that's extremely powerful. And mm-hmm. so when it was put out there, it was like everybody felt the need and they went, finally. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of all went right to Texpressionism very, very easily. In terms of how the dynamics of Texpressionism going from a front porch in New York worldwide, Renata probably can speak more to that because of the curating on Instagram.
Yeah, I have to say that social media is kind of the great leveler. We don't have a headquarters. It's on the internet.
The porch.
It's the internet, baby.
The porch is the headquarters. Wherever you are, that's where you can Texpression yourself.
And, you know, it's great. You can tune in when you're traveling. It's really great to see people on salons. You know, we had a meeting recently. We were making a show in the metaverse, and one of the members came with his iPad in the backseat of a car barreling down the highway towards Manhattan while he's having a meeting with us.
But you know what? I don't know how far back you guys go, but you saying that, you know what it made me think about? Etch-a-Sketch. Mm-hmm. Remember Etch-a-Sketch? And you used to turn the knobs and you could do all these little things and make these little, to me, that's like a little bit of a glow up, you know, from going from Etch-a-Sketch to the little things they used to doodles and Google's doodles. And one reason I like Google is because they have doodles. I'm not lying. I look forward to seeing the next design, like what kind of graphic they're going to do, what kind of cartoon they're going to have. You know, I think that's interesting. Before I get back into a little bit about, we want to talk about a little bit about your exhibitions, what you're doing now, your media tags and things. I got to make a quick announcement. First of all, local shout out to Robin L. Marshall. I want to give you some flowers while you're still here. There are very, very few women of color in LA specifically that are photographers, and specifically for Getty Images. So homegirl is bad. She took a wonderful, beautiful image of me, and I appreciate that. And she was very, very busy and took the time out to say hi. And I just want to give Robin her shout out and her flowers while she's still around and let you know that you are wonderful and it's good to see you out there. Also, our sponsor, Kevin Pye, Coel Banker, Senior Probate and Real Estate Specialist, Kevin Pike of Coel Banker, 818-571-1508. Again, Kevin Pike, Coel Banker, 818-571-1508, Senior Probate and a Real Estate Specialist. He is the guy to go to over there. So now back to my two beautiful ladies here sitting in our studio today. So Karen, what can we expect from you and Renata? Because obviously you two work well together. Are we expecting more separate projects together where you're bringing your separate projects together, or we're going to do some more collaborative projects? Are we doing some stuff in Canada? Are we touring this thing called Express? It'd be great for you guys to come up with a Texpressionist tour and take it on the road. You know, take it on the road, get a little van, put some group in there and go to each city and do Texpressionist meetup. What do you think?
Well, we're kind of doing that already online.
I knew it.
I think we've got a group going to Uzbekistan in the fall.
To where? Pakistan.
Uzbekistan, yeah.
Oh, wow.
What happens is that Texpressionism went out amongst all the artists, and then the artists in the regions come together and they do their own thing, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So on that note, we kind of did Meridiana so that we could travel the show. Right now it was at the Cape Cod Museum of mm-hmm. Art here on Cape Cod, thanks to Benton Jones, who really took us on to have this show there, and we thank him very much. But we'd love to travel the show. We're working on it right now in Canada, in the USA. So,
so, Renata, is Canada, I know Canada is big on the arts. Have they suffered from any new tariff regulations or something? Do they fund you at all and help you with what you're doing? I think that's something they should really, it should stand out that you're doing, you're a part of a brand new movement. It is a historical making thing. Mm-hmm. So what are they doing to support you?
Well, I think that you have to say Canada has a pretty good track record. The government here does give generously to the arts and does support artists. And it's, you know, the thing about being a Canadian artist is we say, if you can make it in the USA, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah. Kind of like it takes the US and Canada to work together on that one, huh?
Yeah, no, I really think that there's a good synergy between artists from both countries. Really? I really think that culturally we have so much in common, especially like the New York artists. Like my history when, you know, studying abstract expressionism, 1950s, 1960s, and so on, all you had to do was get on a plane, go to New York City, go to MoMA, and there it was in front of you. It was invaluable for art students from Canada to use the United States as a study ground. I went to the National Gallery in Washington with my art history class, and I saw the great mobiles by Alexander Calder and the great architecture by I.M. Pei. You know, you had a lot of very wealthy donors in the U.S. who gave to make these grand institutions like the Met and like the museums in Boston, and we don't have that many people, and we have a much shorter history than you by about 100 years.
But I see it. Look at the camera, said, wow, she waved her hand. I see it. I see the movement. I see where it's going. I see the future of it. I really do. Just talking to you two today, I can see the whole thing. I can see the Met just doing an evening, Texpressionism, an evening at the Met. I can see that. Just focusing on Texpressionism outside of the other arts. I'm not saying the other arts won't be doing it, but I'm just saying just that thing. Because of the kind of art it is, I can see it. I can see it running on a wall at a museum, the whole panel, you know, the whole thing. I can see it. It's so easy to see the direction. Speaking to you two about it. Now, where can we as an audience find out more about what you're doing? What are your upcoming projects? What do you got in mind? You don't have to share everything, but a little bit of tease, you know, so we can hear. So,
well, you asked about Karen and I collaborating, and we are actually in a show that opens on April the 28th and runs until July the 20th in Chicago.
Okay.
And it's 150 Media Stream, which is at a building on Riverside Drive, 150 Riverside in Chicago. And it's a 150 foot long and in some places 22 foot high wall, video wall. So you can imagine how much.
So I'm there. I'm an expressionist. I'm thinking the way you're thinking. Oh my gosh, I can see that. Have you already done things in New York and all the major cities, like any other tour, Seattle, New York, you know, Chicago, Dallas? They would love your stuff in Texas as well. They're really big on technology and textile and those kind of things there.
Well, the Texpressionism movement, sometimes the artists do individual shows and they're all over the world, or they could be regional. As far as Texpressionism coming together itself, we had our first physical show at the Southampton Art Center, I believe in 2022, where there were 90 artists represented from around the world in that show. We did the Hello Brooklyn show at the
Kingsborough.
Thank you. Kingsborough Art Museum in Brooklyn last fall. And now a smaller version of that show, but probably just as many artists, is going to go into Chelsea. And it opens on April 30th.
That's hot.
But
that's okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say for the 150 Media Stream, it's four Texpressionist artists who are going to be on that video wall. So it's myself, Renata, and Colin Goldberg, and also Jan Swinburne, who is another Canadian artist. All four.
Oh, that sounds amazing. So what are your social media tags? Where can we find that? I know your websites, you can announce them. Tell our audience your website, we can find out more about you. I definitely want to hit you up on IG. I think I already followed both of you already just because I heard, I'm like, yes, those are my girls. You know, do that. So let us know. Go let her rip because we're running out of time.
mine is LaFleurArtworks.com or LaFleurArtworks on Instagram.
And mine is RenataGigi_ on Instagram.
And Gigi, I thought that was cool. J-I-J-I, isn't that Gigi? I thought that was cool. I'm like, yay. She's cool too. Renata Gigi, J-I-J-I on Instagram, IG. Karen, what are you on IG?
LaFleur Artworks.
LaFleur Artworks. And that's L-A-F-L-E-U-R, LaFleur, not LaFleur. I had it wrong. I was like, LaFleur is LaFleur. So I want to thank you again for coming. Don't forget about me, Osiris. I love you. I like you for you being brave and courageous and doing everything you want to do despite your problems and obstacles. And I love you for letting me entertain you today. Thank you, Sam, with LA Talk Radio for letting me shine. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. I can't do this without you. We need the numbers. We need the people. And I like talking to y'all out there. So give me a big hug. My arms aren't as big as the world, but I'm making them so. And I'll talk to you next time. See you next Thursday. Same place, same time. And goodbye. Bye. Thank our guest, Renata Yamachevska, and also Karen LaFleur. And I'll see you next time. Don't forget to smile. It works wonders. Bye-bye.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.